morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. We have a little over a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20, so it's going to be windy on the beach and out on the water today. Wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at 5 seconds apart, and northwest swells 6 feet at 9 seconds apart. So this is an example of when the wind, the local wind waves caused by our local winds, and the swells that come in from further out to sea caused by forces often far away from here are going in the same direction. So that is kind of makes for a little bit smoother sailing out there. And today on the Ship Report, I'm going to be talking with you about quite an unusual article that I found online at gcaptain.com. It comes from Bloomberg News, and it's all about a group of financiers who have developed something called the Poseidon Principles. And these are the folks who finance loans to ship owners in order for them to buy ships. And they have said they want ships to new ship builds to meet certain agreements, certain standards that are in line with the Paris Climate Agreement. So this is really something. The shipping industry is historically quite conservative. And to see something like this happening indicates that major banks, so the money behind the ships, which is a big driver in any industry, are saying that climate change needs to be addressed on a global level by ships. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders. We have 7 in the Astoria Anchorage, including a couple at Rice Island Anchorage, upriver a little bit, and 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Emily Bulker. She's arriving from China, headed for Longview, for a berth that I believe handles logs. She came in to the river probably about 3:30 this morning and probably arrived in Longview at about 7 a.m. The articulated tug and barge rig called an ATB, Sound Reliance, which is a Crowley Maritime-owned vessel, so a domestic vessel, U.S. flag vessel, is arriving from Ferndale. She's headed for Portland. Her cargo is probably some kind of refined petroleum, so possibly a diesel, biodiesel, jet fuel, something like that. She will pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland around 4:30 in the morning tomorrow. So a big span between our 2 inbound vessels today, one so early that we probably didn't see it, and another one so late that a lot of us probably won't see it either. But they are there, and ships travel, vessels of all kinds travel 24/7 on the waters of the world, and that includes here on the Columbia. In our Astoria anchorages, we have those 7 vessels, they are, interestingly enough, all wheat ships. So when I talk to you about how we are, I think, the number one wheat portal, at least on the West Coast, for exporting wheat to the rest of the world, you can see it in today's ship schedule, because all of these bulk carriers heading out of, that will be eventually heading out of ports, are upriver loading wheat right now. They are the Finula, the Prabhu Shakti, the Aspasia Luck, the Sasebo Ace, the Blessed Luck, the Kazaya Ace, and the Pan Bicorn. Some of these names are fairly familiar if you're a regular listener. Other ones come and go. These ships are often what are referred to as tramp ships in the industry because they change cargoes. Some of them have dedicated runs, like the ships that handle soda ash for us that come into the river are often on a dedicated run. Car carriers carry the same cargo all the time is what I mean by a dedicated run. But these bulk carriers that you see anchored offshore, they are ships for hire, almost like semi-trucks for hire. They go where the cargo is, and they handle different cargoes. That's why sometimes you'll see the hatch covers open on those vessels when they're in the anchorage. It means that they've probably had to paint their cargo holds and rinse them, wash them out, and repaint them because they've gone from an industrial mineral cargo to a food cargo like corn. So a lot happens there when you're shifting cargoes all the time. And our outbounders, we have the Little Prince heading out of Vancouver around noontime. She's got wheat on board. She'll probably pass Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Puffin Arrow is leaving the port of Portland with soda ash on board, leaving around 5 p.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. The New Boundary is leaving Kalama around 6:30 today, and about 5 hours later, she'll pass Astoria outbound. So about 11:30, she's full of wheat. And the Olympic Pioneer is leaving Vancouver, could have bentonite clay on board, which is used, mineral used to clarify liquids. It's also sometimes used for kitty litter, which I love to say. And she could be heading out around midnight. That would put her past Astoria outbound in the early hours tomorrow morning. Let's talk a little bit about this interesting article I found. If you go to gcaptain.com, you'll see it. They're an aggregator of maritime news, and they have lots of interesting articles there every day. I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. It's about something called the Poseidon Principles, a group of financiers with $100 billion of loans to ship owners are about to get stricter on the kinds of vessels they will finance as a part of a drive to improve the maritime industry's environmental performance. 11 major financiers, including Citigroup Incorporated and Societe Generale SA, are for the first time adopting a set of principles requiring them to maintain their lending books in a way that matches goals in the Paris Climate Agreement, as well as related targets adopted by global regulators in the United Nations International Maritime Organization. You may have heard of it. It's called the IMO. It sets regulations for the shipping industry. This means banks will favor financing of cleaner vessels while shying away from those carriers that are more polluting. The shift will potentially help to tighten a well-supplied freight market that's depressed rates, said Michael Parker, global head of shipping and logistics at Citigroup. Ship owners will think more carefully about the economic life of the asset, he said. Climate is a new consideration they haven't had in the past. The finance institution's so-called Poseidon Principles will establish a baseline to assess and disclose whether the leaders' portfolios are in line with climate goals. They'll also serve as a tool to manage investment risks, such as those posed by new fuel standards or carbon pricing. Under the plan, a loan book that's ready for new climate policies would be more valuable than one that isn't. So the shift should encourage ship owners to innovate with designs so vessels can in the future switch to cleaner fuels, such as biofuels, hydrogen, or ammonia from the heavy fuel they use today. So why is this such a big deal? Well, here's another article that I found online, and this is pretty readily available information. The world's 15 biggest ships create more pollution than all the cars in the world. That's according to James Corbett, professor of marine policy at the University of Delaware. Ship pollution affects the health of communities in coastal and inland regions around the world. Yet pollution from ships remains one of the least regulated parts of our global transportation system. It sounds serious, but how bad could it be? And there's a report from the UK's Guardian newspaper. According to their story, just one of the world's largest container ships can emit as much pollution as 50 million cars. So the problem isn't necessarily with the ship's 109,000 horsepower engines that endlessly spin away 24 hours a day. In fact, these power plants are some of the most fuel efficient in the world. The real issue lies with the heavy fuel oil that the ships run on. It's called bunker fuel. And so it's the dregs of the refining industry. It's what's left over after they create all the other things that we use to power our vehicles and create fuel. But it is extremely dirty, but very relatively inexpensive. And fuel is one of the biggest expenses that ships have. So ships are always trying to conserve in that regard in terms of cost. So learning, and there are lots of innovation going on to allow ships to burn cleaner burning fuel. And when ships get into U.S. waters, they have to switch to a cleaner burning fuel. But still, while they're out in the ocean, that pollution is going up into the atmosphere when they're offshore and creating it's a considerable contributor to global emissions pollution. So at any rate, this is just a very interesting fiscal approach to controlling emissions. People, you know, as any of us, when we're buying something really big, we tend to get a loan for it of one kind or another. Ship owners are the same, and ships wear out after about 30 years. So there's a constant need for ships to be, for new builds, as they call them. And so this group is controlling quite a large amount of financing for ships, is saying that they want people to consider these principles as they move forward with their plans to build new vessels. So, very interesting development. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.